My friends and fellow Markans, as I shall explain later, this is both a political and a religious occasion. And that is why I stand before you in this combination of patriotic garb and religious habit. Some of you have been struck by my religious habit and have asked what my habit is. It's picking my nose. But now, why do our hearts burn within us? It is the orange juice we had for breakfast. Yet some among us are today so filled to overflowing that we can only belch. Even still, amid these faintly festive hiccups, one hears the distant rumble of stomachs that did not arise for breakfast, crying out, "How long, oh my countrymen, how long till coffee breaks?" But such people have forgotten what day it is, the 4th of July. And what, my fellow Markans, does the 4th of July mean? No coffee break. More than that, it means Independence Day, the day on which our forefathers, staunch and true, declared their independence, not just from King George, but also from our four mothers. Why is this side of the story never told? Why is it that we hear continually of the four fathers and never of the four mothers? Have you ever read a word from your grade school history book about the four mothers? Of those who drove the forefathers into politics? You have not. And why not? It is because we have allowed the story of this nation to be told by men like Charles Beard, note that name, who scoffed at valor and cynically belittled the bravery of our forefathers. These historians would rather we forgot the courage of John Hancock, who dared to declare his independence in a large, round hand, though he knew Mrs. Hancock would read of it next morning in the Chicago Tribune. What matters it that he immediately founded a life insurance company? Discretion is the better part of valor. And that is why we are here, instead of upon Buckskin Peak or Martin Ridge. Now, some among you will surely be asking, as did my wife when I was rehearsing this oration, how come your all Texas accent sort of comes and goes? And I'll say to you, as I said to her, none of your cotton-picking business. I am from Texas, and I'm proud to be from Texas. And the further from Texas I get, the prouder I am. Where's Norman? I've seen his face a bit ago. Norman? Yeah, I thought I'd seen your face. Would you mind looking the other way where we come from? We can't look at hobbles and we can't stand fences. Now, my friends, to business. I must first of all call to your attention a remarkable fact, a fact too remarkable to be mere coincidence, that our National Day of Independence falls each year on a holiday, the 4th of July. Now, it might have been otherwise, but it was not, and we must seek out the spiritual meaning of this fact. Here at Holden Village, as I said in beginning, the 4th of July is not just a secular holiday, like Flag Day and Washington's birthday and Christmas. Here, the religious meaning is always emphasized. First it's invented, then it's emphasized. Those who invent religious meanings are called new theologians. Their theology is called the new morality. The new morality is well known and beloved by all Lutherans under its more familiar name, sin. But there are other spiritual depths to this day, for it was Martin Luther who first drafted the Declaration of Independence. I know what you were thinking. How can I justify that assertion? But justification is by faith. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. And I have seen no evidence at all for that assertion, which proves my case. Was it not Calvin Coolidge himself who, when asked whether the Lutherans had played any important role in the founding of America, responded, Why was it that Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg? Because Melanchthon had borrowed his Scotch tape, of course. But there is more. It surely cannot be mere coincidence that this happened exactly 25 years and 18 days after Columbus discovered America. And precisely, no more nor less, 103 years before the Pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, which is itself too great a coincidence to be overlooked. Can you imagine sailing 3,000 miles through tempest and storm and landing exactly on Plymouth Rock? No, my fellow Markins, there is a spiritual destiny that shapes our ends. And through all our fasting and exercise, these ends remain large and prominent. And these ends will support us. If we will only stop standing on our own 2 feet. This is indeed, as Calvin Coolidge reminded us, a land flowing with milk and money. A simple man, a direct man, a man like myself, a few words, who upon leaving the White House said, goodbye. This is the great American whose spirit calls to us today, urging us to abandon the slippery paths of careless speech and fuzzy thinking and to return to the eternal rut. I cannot but believe that he looks down upon us as we are gathered here today, and his heart is heavy within him as he beholds our apostasy. Yes, the limpid waters of pure Lutheran Americanism have been sullied in this place by American Lutheranism. Our director himself, snicker beast, is soft on communism and thinks, moreover, that you can negotiate with the Missouri Synod. Our business manager buys his wife a dog and names him Bernie and expects us not to notice that Bernie has long hair. I hear a voice replying, but Bernie's a she, and it's all right for she's to have long hair. And I say, who's been peeking? Is there to be smut even at Holden Village? Surely our director of music knows the songs his mother taught him, but he hides behind his organ and he plays from his red songbook. Even Rudolph Edmund, who is a dean and should be in the forefront of the struggle to shoot students and other subversives, even he smells fishy. Are we asleep or don't we care? One child in every four is born a Chinese communist. And there are 5 pregnant women in this village. Was there a single voice raised in protest Tuesday when the kitchen served chop suey on rice? None. You have all seen these things, all, but you have done nothing. You let your little ones go down to the nursery and practice communism, sharing toys and games and colds. You think of this as a place apart from the corrupting influences of our day. But I want to tell you on the basis of first-hand evidence that there isn't a single lodge or chalet in this village in which there is no pot. There is a man, I will mention no names, who has the gall, the effrontery, to wear a red suit while harvesting his grass. Now, I will mention a name, one name. The days are too perilous for misdirected courtesy. Have you seen Gertrude Lundholm?
a lovely face, a smiling face, a sweet face, seducing the unsuspecting women of the village into the back of the chalet where she trains them in craft. Morality. Morality means nothing in this village. Larry Collins serves setups. Joanne Holt spikes them. Have you been in the post office lately? The government post office where once the flag flew proudly, but where there is now a mistress for all the Holden Village males? Calvin Coolidge was once visited by a delegation of clergymen who asked him whether he thought America could long survive if her moral fiber were weakened. And he told them, Now, I might have been silent through all these occurrences. I might have bit my tongue and kept still. For I, like your director, am not one to speak often, preferring to listen. But too much is too much. There walks among us, my fellow Markins, a man so base, so depraved, so thoroughly dedicated to the destruction of this country and everything we hold dear, that he has dared, standing before the altar, to lay violent hands upon little orphan Annie. I speak of Roald Tweet. It is not without significance that his wife calls him Tweetsky. Poor little Annie, a tiny girl not yet in her teens, orphaned for though these past 43 years, a typical American girl living like you or I on a few billion a month, associating with ordinary people like the Oriental giants we all played with in our childhood, doing the simple things of youth like breaking up subversive gangs, helping her government whenever called upon by the State Department, even as you and I did when we were children, and for all that retaining her simple love for her faithful dog, Sandy. This is the person whom Tweet assaults in our presence, telling us brazenly to spurn Orphan Annie and go mad. My fellow Markins, the hour indeed grows late. I can only appeal to you as I have appealed to you in the past to be on guard. My family is on guard, ever alert. I'd like them all to rise back there. Will you rise, my family? Move over toward the door. I want everybody to be able to see you. I'm going to go join them, if you don't mind. I want you to notice something as we all stand here together. I want you to notice something as we all stand here together. I want you to notice how alert and clever we are. We will